Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com. And let's look at some of the top stories in golf. And with that, I welcome in Frank Nabilo, golf commentator, CBS Sports. Good morning.
Thank you very much. I do that for a living, Ann, just like you.
I know. Isn't it fun?
It has its moments, believe me, as you very well know.
Absolutely. And as you look back at this PGA Tour season, Frank, just interested in getting your overall thoughts. We've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, I think you need a kaleidoscope, really, to look at 2021, 2022. You know, there's the obvious thing that everybody's talking about right now, which is LIV. But really, I go back to the start of the calendar year. I remember at Torrey Pines where CBS was starting the first show, and that's where we met the Netflix people. And we were led to believe it was going to be good. You know, Netflix were going to do, like, Drive to Survive on golf, but it would be great for golf. It would show people, you know, what a wonderful game it is, how good the, you know, professional golf is and all of that. And then in amongst this, you know, all the young players, the fact that we have, you know, the five biggest tournaments or the four majors all won by 20-year-olds. We had a great rookie class. And yet everybody basically moves to the big elephant in the room, which is LIV, and playing their fourth tournament this week, which I think is stating the obvious, is the huge destabilizer of what would have been a great season.
Right, exactly. I mean, it just got so distracting talking about it, but you have to, right? Because it's real now. But you know, I was talking to Bob Herrig about Rory McIlroy earlier, and for you as a former tour player, I'm sure you can appreciate the extra effort it takes to play such an active role in, you know, in player policy and working with the tour to make changes. I mean, Rory embraces that role. It can't be easy to do all that off the course. I mean, could you imagine being that involved when you played? It's pretty amazing, right?
Well, a lot of players were, and I think that's where the sort of the split in the road comes, because, you know, one of the things that's come out, I was actually, I remember back to the lawsuit, it was before the Ping lawsuit, before I was playing on the PGA Tour. I remember talking to Roger Maltby, who was on that board. I think that was back in 1989. That went on for 3 or 4 years. But there was a lot of players on that board. They split. They didn't know whether, you know, equipment should be allowed, the square groove issue, should be allowed to dominate the game. The Nicklauses, the Palmers, you know, there's been so many. Generation Woods is doing his part as well. So it's not just Rory. I think Rory has done really what should have been, you know, if Arnold Palmer was still alive, or, you know, Jack Nicklaus was still on tour, they'd be doing the exact same thing. Seve spoke up for Europe. Nick Faldo spoke up for Europe when they were in their prime. So I think it's a continuation of that. That's actually the obligation and the expectation of the best players in the game, not go behind closed doors and really sort of drive a wedge. There's a lot more ways to get the job done. But yeah, so, but yeah, we should be proud of that. But I also expect that from the game's best players.
Right. Good point. Good point. And you had mentioned then, as another positive story, four different guys who won the majors this year. They were all under the age of 30, right? Scottie Scheffler winning the Masters, 25. Matt Fitzpatrick winning the U.S. Open at 27. Justin Thomas, 29, winning the PGA Championship. And Cam Smith, 28, winning the Open Championship. Aside from the fact that Cam Smith just bolted for LIV Golf, I mean, it has to be good news for the PGA Tour that these young guns are you know, winning these major championships and doing so well on the PGA Tour.
Well, golf as a whole, because, you know, obviously, you know, Cam comes from Australasia, where Seb Straka's first Austrian player to win this year on the PGA Tour. So, you know, we've got a lot of players coming from various countries doing some amazing things. But you're right, youth. Zalatoris getting his first win, sadly couldn't play the last two playoff events, but winning the first one in Memphis. The story of, I think, the last sort of decade, when since Jordan Spieth, you know, Justin Thomas have come on the scene, it's the changing of the guard. You know, Tiger obviously has had, he's been able to play less, but he's still been out there enough to, gently pass the baton along. But it's really been picked up, and the style of play that I see with these young guys. I mean, that the rookie class of Cameron Young, Seath, Fagala, and Davis Riley. I mean, they were the three standouts. Obviously, Cameron Young, the best of those three. But they're coming through thick and fast, which makes the game appear healthy when you really go past the level that everybody's talking about. So that's the level that I look at. I'm trying to look at the next stars that are coming through, the ones that are capable of winning the biggest championships and playing the best golf. And they're coming through extremely fast, and they're coming through from a lot of different places.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much depth on the tour. It's just incredible to see. All right, so what are your thoughts, Frank, about LIV Golf and the battle going on between LIV and the PGA Tour? What are your overall thoughts about it all?
I just wish it went elsewhere. I hear a lot of the analogies, and you know, sadly, we get a lot of our news through social media, and a lot of it's not true. For example, youth, you know, when your product is on YouTube TV, you know, my mum couldn't find YouTube TV, or sorry, YouTube, not YouTube TV, but my mum couldn't find that. So you're going to morph it to a different demographic to start off with. And the insinuation is that the game is getting older or whatever. Well, that's also why golf has survived. Its demographic is extremely valuable to promoters. We don't get the ratings, stating the obvious, that NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball get. So we have to compete in a different way. So we have a very rich demographic. So, you know, that sadly doesn't get talked about when LIV talks about its numbers and all that. And I saw, just like everybody else, you read it, you know, you see everything. You know, Greg talking about wearing shorts. You know, players can wear shorts if that's the biggest thing. But overall, you know, I think the easiest way to put it, if you've got to pay people to come to your party, then maybe it's not the best party in the street. And that's probably the easiest way to put it. But I just really think they should have taken the leaf out of Formula One's mold. Formula One is a business model. Bernie Eccleston locked up all those TV rights around the world. They proved their product elsewhere, and now they have three Formula One races in America. They referred to cricket. Well, the IPL is a business model. They sold the TV rights for $6 billion. So, but once again, that wasn't just people trying to buy some of the top players and be the stabilizer. That was an organization that worked in the off season for the cricketers. So I think if you go past the first level of what you read about, you get a little bit of the truth there. And I think that's the biggest problem. You know, we're hearing players, for example, that have spoken so well for the last 5 to 10 years, in 1 week completely changed the narrative. You know, want more time with their families and whatever. And it's a shame, because the people I liked, I've had dinner with over the years, and I don't. You know, I think you can get caught up to where the money comes from. I mean, we live in I love the word duplicitous, because it's been used so often recently, but that's the sort of world we live in. But in the end, it's like, you know, where did you come from? I hailed in from New Zealand. I've never have forgotten that. And I think sometimes people have conveniently just pushed some things behind the door. And I think that's the saddest thing that's happened this year. I know that's a roundabout way, but I think I would stick with my best one, which is, you know, if you have to pay people to come to a party, then it's not the best party in town.
Right, right. And so much. I mean, unlimited funds, but where is the return on investment when you look at it? How do they make back any of this money?
Well, you know, I love a crystal ball. I would imagine gambling's a big thing. Also selling the teams. There's rumor that, you know, the teams were going to sell for, you know, $250 million. If there's 12 teams, that's $3 billion. You get money back there. And it's a different product. That's why I would have imagined that if the people at the helm really looked at some of those other sports, cricket, which they've talked about, and Formula One, they would start elsewhere. But you could see it was a deliberate, let's have a go in domestic America, and we're going to have a go there, which does reek of an agenda. There's golf should be spread worldwide, and they would have had a very good vehicle to do that, but instead they wanted to, you know, they want to pick a fight, and now it becomes ugly. One way or the other, and it's a turf war. But you know, I feel bad too for the European Tour, Australasian Tour. You know, it's not just the PGA Tour, but that's where the fight is at the moment. And it's just a shame, because we need more money in the game. There's no question about it. But I think the players too have to look at it. Really, if you want to look at pure viewership, they're not entitled to NFL money. They're not. I know they play longer. They have a longer lifespan. They will make a lot more money Fortune magazine, you know, I think the top 50 athletes, you know, three of the top five are golfers. So golfers do extremely well in the sporting environment. So you just have to take one step back sometimes and look at the whole landscape.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not all about the money. I mean, you see Cam Smith, who's just incredibly talented. And wouldn't you think that he'd want to play with the best players in the world in meaningful competitions?
Yeah, you would. And I'd like to think in 10 years that's going to be a massive regret. 5 years. I think some of them genuinely believe, and we've already heard that from some of the players, that they never thought they would be banned from the tour, that it wouldn't hold up. And I know the lawsuit is impending. So once again, they're being sold a bill of goods. I can take a lot of cash here. I'll be able to play both anyway. Or, you know, if I'm sick of this, I'll just go back and play. Like, it's that convenient. You know, this is my girlfriend today and this is my girlfriend tomorrow. That's going to work. But it's not going to wash. And the sums of money are obscene. I thought what Harold Varner wrote was probably the most genuine thing that I've read. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for him as a guy and as a player, too. And it's sad to see players like him go as well. Cameron Smith, you're right, number two player in the world, wins the Players' Championship and the Open Championship. Yeah, that's a big loss. But it's a big loss more, in my opinion, just for golf. And you know, I know people use the word legacy. I just want the guys to compete. But, you know, if you're going to play 54 holes or go elsewhere, you know, you're not putting yourself into the best possible frame to play your best golf. He knows that. Everybody knows that. You know, the Greg Norman, who's running the tour, he never approached events that way. You know, Nick Faldo, who sadly said farewell this year, I mean, he was tireless in his pursuit to be a better player tomorrow than what he was today.
Well, on a positive note, Frank, when you're saying golf should be spread across the world, right, worldwide, the winners of the five majors on the women's tour are from five different countries. So that's a good thing, right? You have Jennifer Kupcho, who won the Chevron Championship. She's American. You have Minji Lee from Australia. She won the U.S. Women's Open. You have Ji Chung from the KPMG Women's PGA from South Korea. Brooke Henderson from Canada won the Evian Championship. And Ashley Buhai won the Women's British Open from South Africa. So we'll end on a positive note. The women who won these major championships from all over the world. And so hopefully the women can continue to, you know, go strong and not have this threat of live golf, for sure.
Yeah, I know Dottie Pepper's involved in that. They have a meeting coming up. But you know, Minji Lee, my good friend Mike Clayton down in Australia, he told me about Minji years ago, as well as her brother, Minwoo Lee, who's sort of starting to make his mark. And I remember doing the first ANWR at Augusta, seeing Jennifer Kupcho win there. So, you know, it's neat to see these girls as well just turn into, you know, turn their potential into results. It's talent. The one word that comes out in 22 is talent. That's the thing. If you want to leave, that's the positive note. There's a lot of talent out there, male and female.
Absolutely. So much depth. Frank, always a pleasure. We don't have enough time, but it's always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Ann. Take care.
Have a great rest of the Labor Day weekend. Golf Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool, stylish UPF 50+ sun protection, and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com.